If you negotiate with your knee before standing up, you're losing that argument. Joint Relief Institute treats joint pain fast. And yes, it's covered by Medicare. Call 708-888-0000 as in zero pain.
Wendy Snyder in for Bob Surratt. Bob is back in action tomorrow morning. Here's what's going on right now. Russian accounts are admitting that Ukrainian forces are making some gains in heavy fighting. There has been a Ukrainian counteroffensive, which has been allegedly, they've been getting small gains. Good morning, Joseph. Are you with us? I guess.
Yes, Wendy. Can you hear me okay?
Yes, sir. Good afternoon to you.
Oh, great. Yeah. We never know. Sometimes it's difficult to connect. Hello from Lviv. As I was getting ready to speak with you here, I just met several middle-aged couples from southern United States, and they came here to volunteer and teach. And it's so strange because, you know, here in the war, we had alarms throughout the night, even here in the West. And these people, they sort of sound like they're going on a vacation to Greece together, although with a little bit of apprehension, you know, coming here to the war zone. And I think that this has to be pretty unique in modern warfare that you have so many civilians coming here to help. And I've seen the past few days from friends who've gone down to Kherson, videos of people in inflatable rafts trying to rescue people and rescue animals and bring supplies to the areas affected by the Russians destroying that dam. It always inspires me to know the wide variety of people who show up here to help. And meanwhile, there were attacks through the night at about 4:06 this morning. The western city of Ternopil was hit. Air defense was engaged. And then about half an hour later, warehouses and a utility company in Kharkiv were hit by the Russians. And then at 4:39, President Zelensky's and the First Lady Olena, their hometown, Kryvyi Rih, was hit, a five-story residential building. There are fatalities. You know, once again, pretty awful destruction. And that city is interesting. It's 75 miles long, the longest city in Europe. It was built along coal mines. And it's also interesting that last September, September 14th, the Russians blew up a smaller dam near that city to try to flood it. And so the tactics that we've seen now, you know, it hasn't changed. And I think, you know, this is what they're doing, whatever they can to succeed here. Meanwhile, we have continued but vague reports of Ukrainians continuing to make advances in Zaporizhia and in Donetsk, but those reports are still vague. We can't really know for sure the measure of their success so far.
CNN is reporting that Russian accounts are actually admitting that Ukrainian forces are making some gains. Did that lead to the overnight missile strikes, do you believe?
Well, you know, it's always hard to know these things, it's hard to know. But I think, I mean, you know, we've seen these strikes on a pretty regular basis now since early May. There kind of has been a lull in the past few weeks, but no, this has been Russia's approach, and I think again, we always have to expect that the closer, the more success Ukrainians have, the Russians are going to, you know, have to respond in some way. And it's just a matter of, you know, who can keep enduring the longest. And speaking of enduring, on this date in 2014, the city of Mariupol was liberated by Ukrainians from the Russians. After Ukraine's revolution in 2014, Russian-backed rebels, you know, sort of it was chaos because the people took control of their government. And there were a lot of pro-Russian people in the military and in the government. And so Ukraine was kind of weakened, and Russian-backed rebels took the city of Mariupol for a couple of weeks. And then on this date, a combination of the football hooligans and civic leaders took back the city of Mariupol, June 13th, 2014, ushering in an era, you know, 8 years of peace and prosperity. And now, of course, that city is totally destroyed. But it's a reminder that this has been going on for a while. And then, you know, there's sometimes I have time to look at American news, but there's one piece, Wendy, of American news circulating that is completely inaccurate. We see all this news of the special counsel investigation of President Biden's family's finances, and whether it's the Associated Press or Fox News, you know, left or right, everyone gets one fact incorrect. They say that Biden's son worked with a Ukrainian firm called Burisma, but that firm is not Ukrainian. It's Russian, and it was run by a an oligarch who was part of the pro-Russian government that the Ukrainian people kicked out in that revolution of 2014. And so when that company hired Joe Biden's son, it was based in Moscow. And so I think I'm sort of amazed that every time I see that sentence in a straightforward news article, it says it's a Ukrainian firm, implying that there's some kind of corruption here. But the key story is that the Ukrainian people, they didn't want that type of corruption in their government. And that's part of the reason why they had that revolution of dignity in 2014.
Well, that's why we need you, Joseph. You need to be our eyes and ears, and you also have to do the fact-checking over there. Bob Surratt returns tomorrow. I'm going to wake up every morning early so I can make sure you're okay, because this is just an ongoing thing that I need to hear your voice every day. So, Joseph, please stay safe. It's been great talking to you.
Wendy, I will miss these conversations with you. It's always a pleasure, and I'm glad to know you'll be listening. And we're doing a fundraiser for a soldier who needs an SUV as part of this counteroffensive. So if anyone wants to support it, UkrainianFreedomNews.com, and click on the yellow banner. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Joseph. And again, that's UkrainianFreedomNews.com. There's a yellow banner at the top of the page. Click here to join our fundraiser for an off-road vehicle for Ukrainian warriors. Kudos to Joseph Lindsley. I love talking to him.